Morning, today's daf in Makos is Yud Zayin. We begin today on Tav Zayin Amud Beis. We're halfway down on the Amud. We are at the two dots. We're starting with Amar of Yehuda, the Gemara, turning all of its attention now to the Onish Makos, the punishment of lashes that's given by Beis Din in the event that someone violated Lo Sase. Last 2 days of the daf described in detail for us the nature of love and itak lase, when you violate a love, and the Torah makes a remedies the situation with something that you can do to undo that which you did. So that's what's referred to as a love and itak lase. And what we discussed for the last couple of days is the parameters of love and itak lase. We are going back now to the Mishnah, and we're discussing malchus for various yisurim. In terms of animals, basically, in my mind, the Torah breaks up animals into like four different categories. Number one are the animals that walk on four legs. I mean, you could subdivide that into chay and behema, but basically animals that work on four legs. Then the next category of animals from the bird standpoint Next category of animals from the Torah standpoint is birds. Then there are fish, and then there's shratzim. Shratzim, basically, no great definition, but anything like low to the ground. A low to the ground crawls on the ground, so that's a sheretz. So there are, and again, in my mind, in all four of these categories, the Torah has animals within all four categories that you're allowed to eat and you're not allowed to eat. So for Be'im and Chaya, there's a whole list of animals that you can't eat, but the Torah gives simanim. And then the animals that do not have the simanim that you can't eat. Then when it comes to birds, the Torah outlines 24 birds that you're not allowed to eat, which means that the rest of the bird kingdom, you're allowed to eat from. Fish, Torah goes back to simanim. Torah tells you fins and scales are the simanim that identify which are kosher. And then by shratzim for the most part are not kosher. The Torah does give a couple of examples of shratzim that are kosher. Torah identifies certain grasshoppers that are kosher, but the rest of the shratzim are not kosher. So that means to say that if you're eating a sheretz, so you're subject to a lo sase, it's a negative prohibition, which of course is subject to malchus, and being that we're learning Masechta Malchus, we're in the third parak, so this is it. This is the Gemara that outlines in details which yisurim are there. Rashi points out over here, there are a total of seven different psukim to choose from in terms of the Torah's prohibition of shratzim, which the Gemara over here now is actually going to identify certain types of shratzim, meaning even within the world of shratzim, it could be even further subdivided, shratzim that are in the air, shratzim that are on the ground, and shratzim that are in the water. Okay, so really you could have shratzim by land, by sea, by air. So okay, I didn't expect to say that, but okay, good. It came out nice. So by shratzim, there are a total of seven psukim to choose from. And so now basically there are two generic yisurim by shratzim, which is always going to be your baseline. And then it's just a question of whether or not it's a sheretz from the ground, a sheretz from the land, or sheretz by the air. And that's just going to be now the application of the other psukim in the Torah that are assigned to it. So in other words, we will all be over various lavim in the Torah if we eat certain shratzim. And this is where we're beginning this morning. So Amar Rav Yehuda, I'm on the achal binisa debe karva. So you're eating some sort of binisa. Now, I don't know what these are. Obviously, these are various types of bugs. Rashi describes the binisa debe karva as talas and imtsas bikruv. So in a cabbage, there's a certain worm that grows over there. Okay. Now, malkin lemishim sheretz sheretz al aretz. So that you're going to get malkus for because it's on the ground. Meaning, the assumption is that the worm started growing in the cabbage while the cabbage was connected to the ground. Anything connected to the ground obviously has the status of karka, of adama. And so therefore, one is going to be subject to malkus for sheretz or sheretz al aretz. Ha'udach l'binisa debei karva. Ha'udach l'binisa debei karva v'nagde Rav Yehuda. And then v'kachaya. Somebody ate this kind of sheretz, and Rav Yehuda was the one administering the malkus. Amar Abai achol putisa. So a person eats putisa. Putisa, Rashi describes as a sheretz amayim. Okay, some sort of crawling creature that comes from the water. So loka arba. So you're subject to four sets of malkus. Rashi over here points out the two generic sets of malkus that one receives. And then there are two other psukim. Rashi goes through the psukim. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now. But there are two other psukim that describe also the sheretz that comes from the water. Namala. Somebody eats what we'll describe as an ant. Again, my definitions over here are not precise. But let's call it an ant. So the loke chamesh mishum sheretz l'sheretz la'aretz. So one is going to be subject to five sets of malchus. Again, the two generic ones, and then when it comes to terrestrial shratzim, so there's another three psukim that are associated with sheretz la'aretz, and so therefore 2 + 3 = 5. Atzira, something that is it's both on the land and it also has the capability of flying. So it's land and it's air. So lokeshesh, mishum sheretz ha'of. So there, since it both is on the land and flies in the air, so now there's another pasuk attaching to it as well. Another, I should say better, two pasukim that attach to it, and therefore that gives you a total of 6 lavim. Amar Rav Achai. So fine. So basically, depending on the type of sheretz it is, that's going to result in the number of lavim that a person violates when eating these shratzim. Amar Rav Achai, Masha es nikavav. So let's say a person has to go to the bathroom and he holds it in. So a number of Gemaras describe the ills of holding it in, and the Gemara over here talks about that it's not only an ill, but it's also a lav as well. And so over mishum losishaksu. So the Gemara over here says that you're in violation of the Torah of not to be disgusting. Now it comes up over here because obviously the pasuk that we just quoted also said in relationship to shratzim as well. But the Gemara understands this also as another iser. It's what we would call an iser shebeklalos. It's a generic iser that not only describes the specific eating of shratzim, but also acting in a way that is disgusting. So if a person has to go to the bathroom, holds it in, so he's in violation of los shaksu. I'm Rabbi Bibi Rabbaye.
Does he get
motion? The Gemara doesn't mention that. And seemingly the answer would be no. And assuming that's a lav shebechlolos, so then no. Then you're not going to get malchus. So Abaye, I'm sorry, Amar Rav Bibi bar Abaye, Hamad deshasa bikarnadu umna, kavim mishum los shaksu. The Gemara gives another example of a person being in violation of los shaksu. Bloodletting, again, was popular back then, viewed as very therapeutic. And the Gemara says that, let's say, you drink from the bloodletter's tool. He has like a cup that he uses in order to collect the blood. And so obviously, I mean, just, you know, simple, you think about it for just a moment, it's disgusting, obviously, and that's exactly the point. Meaning in that you drink from it now, so you're also going to be in violation of the Los Hashak. So use that as your cup, so that's disgusting. And again, disgusting, and you're in violation of the law. Amar Rava bar Ravuna, Rizik Tisha Namalim Vehevi Echad Chai Vishlim L'Chazayis. Lokavav. Let's say you have 9 namalim, you have 9 ants, and they're all crushed up. And then what you do is you bring another one. Now, the Gemara says the word's chai, it's alive. Now, chai over here probably does not mean, and what I'm saying now is just like Tosfos, chai over here probably does not mean alive, but chai just simply means it's intact, meaning it has not been crushed up. Meaning the contrast over here is 9 ants that are crushed up together with 1 ant that's not crushed up. So you're going to be vishlim l'chazayis, and now this total amount of both crushed and uncrushed ants make for a full kezias. So you're going to be subject now to 6 sets of malchus. Hey, mishum birya, ve'echem mishum kezias. Sorry, ve'echem mishum kezias nevela. So for the fact that you just ate an entire ant, so that's a violation of birya. Meaning, as we discussed back in the Mishnah, when you're eating a unit, an independent unit, a live animal, again, I say live over here, I don't mean alive. Live just simply means that it's totally intact. So you're in violation of the Torah, even though it's less than a shear. On top of that, you also ate it in conjunction with other ants, where the total volume of it makes it for a shear. So you're going to be in violation of that as well. Interesting, the Gemara over here describes the Isser being an Isser Nevela, meaning that you ate an animal that was not shechted. Now that's an interesting application over here, because obviously when we think about Nevela, we generally think about category number 1, meaning you go back to what I said a couple of minutes ago in terms of the introduction, category number 1 and category number 2, meaning the large animals that walk on 4 and also the birds as well. Whether birds require Shechita, that Gemara Nechulin discusses whether that is Minatora or Midrabanan, but in any event. In other words, when we generally apply the principle of Nevela, we apply it to the large animals, we apply it to the birds. We don't normally think of Nevela as it relates to the Shratzim as well. We certainly don't think of Nevela in terms of fish, right? That's, you know, we don't think in those terms. But the Gemara over here certainly, I mean, with very little equivocation, the Gemara over here certainly says that eating a kezias of, in other words, it's dead animal, dead unshechted animal, so eating a kezias of it is going to be subject to the Isser Nevela. That's a good question. In other words, if he's going to get the multiple sets of malchus, right, does he have to get a straw for each one? Does the aide have to quote each of the psukim? I'm not sure, but it's a great question. Rav Amar Rav Yochanan afilu shnayim vehu. Rav Yosef Amar afilu echad vehu. Now, other Amarim seem to be arguing on this point. They describe how it's 2 plus 1, meaning 2 crushed shrotzim together with the one uncrushed. There's another opinion, 1 crushed together with 1 uncrushed. V'loplika, but the Gemara points out there really is no debate over here. Habiravve habizutre. In other words, it's just a question of the size of the sherets, meaning that basically if you have small shrotzim, so you're going to need 9 crushed in order to, and 1 uncrushed in order to get to a kezayis. But if you're dealing with larger shrotzim, so then obviously you don't need that many in order to get to the volume of a kezayis. Okay, and then of course the question: what's the chiddush then? If these shrotzim are larger, and you get to the point of a sheretz, obviously there has to be some sort of chiddush involved over here. Okay, I can't articulate what the chiddush is right now, but certainly you have to think about that. Achol tevel amaisarishin. Okay, we go on in the Mishnah, and we're now talking about tevel. Okay, as we know, let's just set everything up so that we know exactly how all this is going to work. Okay, living in Eretz Yisrael, so you have a lot of agricultural halachas, and then as a farmer of the land, farming and harvesting, so you have an obligation every year to take off certain trumas and maisos and give them to their designated recipients. Okay, let's recap. There's a 7-year cycle in Eretz Yisrael, obviously the 7th year being a Shemitah year, where that means, of course, it's Hefker, and you take off no trumas and maisos, but from years 1 through 6, and every year that you harvest, you have to take off trumas and maisos. So in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so you're taking off in the following schedule. You first take off truma, approximately 2%. Torah doesn't give a shear, but you take 2% and you give it to the kohen. Truma obviously has kedusha, has sanctity. The kohen have to be eating it in a state of tahara, and any non-kohen is not allowed to eat it. Next thing you do is you take off maaser rishon. Maaser rishon is 10%. In fact, the word maaser by definition means 10, a tenth. And the maaser rishon is given to the Levi. There are opinions throughout Shas that it has Kedusha, but that's not the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is that it does not have Kedusha. The Levi, once the Levi gets the maaser rishon, he wants to invite you over. You can eat the maaser rishon together with him. But in other words, it's matnos Levium. That is a distribution that's given to the Levium. Then, in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you take off another 10%, and that is maaser sheni. Maaser sheni now is not designated for any particular person. In fact, you keep it, but it has restrictions. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. If you don't want to do that, so the Torah gives an option of redeeming it onto money, bringing the money to Yerushalayim, buying food in Yerushalayim, and eating that food in Yerushalayim. So that is the schedule for years 1, 2, 4, and 5. In years 3 and 6, there's only one change in the schedule, and that's your second 10%. Second 10% in years 3 and 6 is Maaser Ani, and that goes to the poor. And so that's the distribution that goes to the poor. Okay, so that is the schedule of Trumas and Maisos on an annual basis, again, except barring, of course, the 7th year. With all that stated, Amarav, Achal Tevel Shal Maaser Ani Loka. So now, let's say you did a pretty good job, but not a perfect job. In other words, you took off Trumas, you took off Maaser Rishon, and now you didn't take off Maaser Ani. Now, obviously, we're talking about years 3 and 6. And you didn't take off Maaser Ani. So now, you took off most of the trumas and maisos, but not all of it. And the only thing that you have left over that you have not taken off is maaser ani. Is now what you're looking at tevel? Well, you could make an argument. You could say, maybe not. Meaning, I took off most of the tithing that the Torah wanted me to take off. And maaser ani, in other words, it doesn't have kedusha. I'm not bringing it to Yerushalayim. And so, and it's just a monetary obligation. So maybe it's not tevel per se. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that what I just said is not right. It's not correct. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that you didn't take off maaser ani, means that it is still tevel. It is still tevel, which means, of course, that it's one of the machalos asuras. You're forbidden from eating tevel. And the onus for eating tevel is misa bidei shamayim. And so over here, by virtue of the fact that you failed to take off Maitzarani, it's still considered Tevel, and it's going to be subject to Malkus.
But there's no intake Aser here to give it to get.
It's interesting. That's not a bad point.
Because with Brera, he always has the option to give it when they tell you when you give it the.
Right. In other words, when you give the Malkus, so you could say, I could rectify the situation. Okay. That's interesting. Let me think about it. Okay, so Tevel Shel Maaser Ani Loke. So Keman Ki Aitana D'Tanya, the Gemara says now, it's going like the following. Brisa D'Tanya Amar Rav Yosi Yachol Lo Yechayev El Al Tevel Shel Hur Mimenu Kol Iker. So what's the definition of Tevel? So Yachol, I might have thought, meaning this is a Havamina that I presented just a moment ago. I might have thought that, you know what Tevel is? Tevel is when I took nothing off. But Hurim Imenu Truma Gedola V'Lahurim Imenu Maaser Rishon Maaser Rishon V'Lo Maaser Sheni V'Afila Maaser Ani Minayin. And now that's the Havamina. But the Maskana, of course, is no. That if you fail to take off any of the Trumas of Maestros, and even if it goes all the way down to Maestro Ani, which is the last of the Trumas of Maestros, and again, I say least over here, obviously, it's not a knock on the Aniyim. I say least over here simply because it doesn't have Kedusha. And so let's say I took off everything but Maestro Ani. So the Havamina would have been, it's not Tevel, so Tama Loma. So that's what the Bryce is coming to teach us. No, it is Tevel. So through a combination, a gzera shava through these two pesukim, we know contextually one is definitely talking about Maisarani. We're extending that to the other pasuk, which now we're going to say is also talking about Maisarani, meaning that in a situation where you did not take off, the only thing you didn't take off was Maisarani, it still falls under the category of Tevel. And the Torah says that you can't, meaning that you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, so what the Gemara's position is right now, both a memra of Rav and a brisa of Rav Yossi, very clearly, is that if you take off everything but Maaser Ani, it still qualifies as Tevel, and it's still going to be a lav if you ate it, and you'll be still be subject to Malkus. Kitanai. Now, I'm sorry, I'm Rav Yosef Kitanai. So what Rav Yosef now wants to propose is that perhaps what we're looking at over here is not something which is such a Davar Muskam and a Davar Pasha, but it's really subject to a Machlokas. And he's going to quote a Mishnah, the Mishnah is found in Masechet Demai, which I'm going to introduce in just a moment. And this Mishnah would seemingly present this as a Machlokas. Now, before we see this Machlokas inside, once again, crash course in Demai. Demai, it's a funny word. In fact, the word may actually mean, what is this? So demai is any produce bed that is purchased from an amaretz, right? In Eretz Yisrael, I know it's an oversimplification, but basically you had chaverim, people who were careful about the halacha, and you had amei haaretz. Amei haaretz, it's a little bit more than people who weren't careful about the halacha. In fact, in today's daf, I'll show you where in just a second, it could be that they even have resentment towards halacha. In other words, it's a little bit more malicious than just simply, you know, it's not just negligence. I'll show you where later on where you can actually see that in today's daf. But anyway, so the Amei Haaretz may or may not have taken off Trumas HaMaaser. So they did a survey, probably during Bais Sheni, but they did a survey and they discovered that the Amei Haaretz, you know, basically, some did, some didn't. The Gemara, a number of places, said that most of them still took off, but some didn't take off Maaser Ani, and a significant number didn't take off. I don't have the stats in front of me. I don't have the survey, but a significant number, not the majority, but a significant number of the Amei Haaretz didn't take off Maaser. Didn't take off the Trumas of Maaser. So the Chachamim therefore legislated that anytime you buy produce from an Amei Haaretz, so you have to take off Trumas of Maaser. Now the chances are that they did so. But still, the Chachamim demanded as a Chumrah, the Gemara a number of places calls it a Chumrah, that you have to take off Trumas HaMaaser. And this is the basic outline of Demai. Now, even though the Amei Haaretz did not take off Trumas HaMaaser, even that's an oversimplification. It's not perfectly correct what I'm saying. Meaning, consider that the Amei Haaretz knows about the basic idea of Trumah. In other words, he knows about Trumas and Maisos in some sort of basic fashion. The Gemara, a number of places, says that they for sure took off Truma. Because Truma is Kodesh. Zar Sha'achal Truma, any non-Kohen eating Truma, is going to be subject to Misa Bidei Shamayim. So therefore, the Gemara a number of places assumes that they took off truma. It's just a maisros that they were not careful about. And so therefore, when you buy demai from an aretz, you have to take off the maisros. The maisros rishon and the maisros sheni. And again, it gets a little bit more complicated because even contained there within the maisros rishon is also trumas maisros, meaning that when you take off maaser rishon and give that 10% to the Levi then has an obligation to take 10% of the maaser that he received and give that to the Kohen. That's what's called Trumas Maaser. So I'm just admitting that really it's a gross oversimplification of this idea of demai, because even the maaser rishon there is Trumas Maaser. But anyway, I don't want to oversaturate with information. Let's just, okay, with that stated, let's now take a look at this Mishnah in Demai. The Mishnah in Demai reads, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ein Tzarech Likrosis Hashem Al Maiser Ani, Shel Demai. V'chachamim Omrim Korei Es Hashem Ve'inu Tzarech Lahafish. We have a Machlokas Tanayim in the Mishnah in Demai in terms of when you're buying Demai, meaning it's produce from an Amal Aretz, so what do you have to now reckon with the Maaser Ani? So seemingly it's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Meaning Rav Elazar over there says that Ein Tzarech Likrosis Hashem Al Maaser Ani Shel Demai. Meaning Maaser Ani, in other words, the Maaser Rishon for sure you have to deal with. But the Maaser Ani you don't have to deal with. For reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment. And in that very same Mishnah, the Chachamim say no. Karos Hashem Ein Tzarech Lahafish. Yes, you have to designate the Maaser Ani, but then you don't have to separate it. Designate Maaser Ani, but not separate it. Why would that be? Take a look at the top Rashi over here. He explains, Dekevin Shekara Alav Shem Yatsa Hakri Mitaros Tevel. Because look, over here again, remember, this is a chumra, this is a stringency imposed on someone buying produce from an Amma Aretz. So now, there's a chance, and a pretty good one, that the Amma Aretz took off already his Trumas HaMaisa. So we're doing so as a chumra. And remember, now we're talking about Maaser Ani. Maaser Ani is strictly mamonos, it's strictly a monetary obligation. So Rashi goes on to explain. So you now set aside, you designated the Maaser Ani. This is again according to the opinion of the Chachamim. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Dekevin Shekara Lav Shem, Yatsa Hakri Mitaros Tevel. So therefore, it's no longer Tevel. Vishar Maaser Su Tzarech Lahafish Al Karchach. Lefisha Tzarech Lahafish Mi Maaser Rishon Trumas Maaser. Vilina Lekoin. She Bemisa Lazarim. Look, as far as the other tithings are concerned, so again, there is Kedusha aspects to it that you have to take into consideration. Meaning you can't just simply say, oh, that's Maaser Rishon, oh, that's Maaser Sheni, okay, we're good. No, because they have Kedusha. The Maaser Rishon has Kedusha, again, not the entirety of the Maaser Rishon, but 10% of the Maaser Rishon is going to have Kedusha. It's Trumas Maaser, given to the Kohen. So it's not going to be enough just simply to say, this portion is Maaser Rishon, okay, I'm Yotze Zayin. And the Maaser Sheni, okay, that next 10% is Maaser Sheni, fine. No, it's not fine because, again, Maaser Rishon, 10% of it goes to the Kohen. That's Kedusha. Maaser Sheni, it's all Kadosh. It all has to be brought to Yerushalayim. Since Maaser Ani is strictly a mamonos issue, so therefore, by Maaser Ani, you could just simply say, this 10% is Maaser Ani, and now we're good. Now, shouldn't I have to give it to the Ani? And the answer is no. I don't have to give it to the Ani. I know this sounds strange, but it's the conclusion is correct. Why don't you have to give it to the Ani? You don't have to give it to the Ani because, again, it's mamonos. Do I actually owe this to the Ani? Unclear. What do we say when it comes to halachas of mamonos? Hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. Now the Ani, and I know with the Ani it's a little bit strange because there's no one particular Ani who's going to be Toveya, but the Ani, but for a moment, let's just imagine there is. The Ani says to me, give me my Maaser Ani. And I'll explain to him, no, and I don't have to explain this. This is built into the halakha. But no, meaning it's Demai. I bought it from an Amaritz. He may have, in fact, given off already Trumas HaMaisos. I'm doing so only as a Chumra. But fine, I'm doing so as a Chumra. But from a monetary standpoint, it doesn't belong to you. In fact, it more belongs to me. I'm the Muchzak. And you may be entitled to it, but that's only a maybe. Hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. Proof positive has to be brought that the one who I bought it from did not take off my Maaser Ani, and then I owe it to you. You can't make that argument by Maaser Rishon. You can't make that argument by Maaser Sheni because they have Kedusha elements with you, which you have to take into consideration. You can't say that by Maaser Ani. Fine. So now, after learning this Mishnah together in Demai, so seemingly what do we have? A very basic machlokas of whether or not when I buy the produce from the Amaritz, do I have to even take my sarani into consideration, yes or no? Rabbi Lazar says, no, you don't have to worry about it. And the Chachamim say, no, worry about it. But again, the solution is very simple. Set it aside now as my sarani. You have now, you were misaking all the produce, meaning it's no longer tevel. Do you have to give it to the ani? No, you don't have to give it to the ani for the reasons I just explained. Great. What is going on in this mission, Damai? So now what the Gemara presents is seemingly a very good explanation of this machlokas. Top of Yitzayin and Aleph. My love b'hakamiflagi. Mar savar vade tovlo, umar savar vade eni tovlo. So maybe over here, what is at the core of this issue is as follows. Let's say it's not Damai. Let's say it's vadai. I didn't buy it from an amar. It's meaning I'm the farmer. I harvested it myself. So now, could very well be that whether or not Maiser Ani, meaning failure to take off Maiser Ani, makes it Tevel, is really at the core of the debate over here. Meaning Rabbi Lazar says that when you buy from an Amaretz, you don't have to pay any mind to it whatsoever, is because had it been Vadai, Rabbi Lazar would tell you that, look, of course you should take off Maiser Ani. But if you don't do so, it's not Tevel. No. So when I'm buying it now from an Amaretz, where the halacha now drops down a level, so then I don't have to pay any mind altogether. Mashenkin, according to the Chachamim, had it been Vadai, so I would have to take off my sarani. Failure to take off my sarani leaves the produce in a state of tevel. Now when you drop down the level and you're now buying it from an Amar Arts, and now it's Damai, so I got to take it into consideration. Again, the solution is very simple. I mafrish the 10%. I don't have to give it to the ani, but I have to be mafrish. This seemingly is the machlokas in the mission in Damai. Gemara says no. So Gemara says, Amalei Abayi Yahachi Adamiflagi B'Sfeiko Liflagi B'Vadai. Abayi makes such a salient point. And that is, if that's really what they're debating, so why are we discussing this in the context of Damai? Meaning, go back to the original produce and just simply discuss it from the original point, from the point where it wasn't grown by an Amaretz, but it was grown by a Chaver. And just simply say that whether or not I need to take off Maiser Ani in order to make it not Tevel anymore, is a machlokas between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. By virtue of the fact that they're debating this only in the context of Damai, so it seemingly is that it's the Damai element that what they're debating, not whether or not the Vadai would or would not, the Vadai Maiser Ani would or would not make it Tevel. So Elo Dekulei Ama Vadai Tovlo. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're gonna say like we said originally. Like Rav said, like Rav Yossi said, that if it's Vadai, meaning if it definitely needs tithing, and I don't take off the Maiser Ani, it's Tevel. But let's say it like we said originally. So v'hacha b'hakamiflagi. Now as far as the Mishnah and Damai that we just learned together, so the Gemara says, so I'll give you another pshat in that Mishnah. Marzav v'lo nechshu du ame aretz al Maiser Ani shel Damai, kevin de mamonohu, afrushi mafrish. So now we can say like this, that according to Rabbi Lazar, did the Amaretz take off Maiser Ani? Yeah, he did. Now this next question and answer is going to be funny. Did he give it to the Ani? No. He didn't give it to the Ani. But in other words, from his standpoint, like what? No harm, no foul. Meaning, from the Amaretz's standpoint, Maiser Ani, what's the big deal? I'll just separate it. Okay, good. Everyone happy? Fine. Everyone's happy. Now, the Aniyim would be much happier if they gave it to the Aniyim, but okay. But in other words, it's not a big deal. So they did it. And that's why, according to Rav Elazar, when you buy from the Am Haaretz, so you can assume they took off Maiser Ani. V'rabbanan Savre, Kevin. Now, I'm going to read the Gemara as it presents itself in our Gemara. And then in a moment, I'll flip over to the Gaon. But Kevin de Triche le Mosel Lomafish. So, and the Chachamim will tell you as follows. It's a Tircha. Meaning the mindset of the Ame Haaretz is really I have to take off another Meiser. It's year three. It's now year six, and now I have to take off another Meiser. Stop complicating me with and confusing me with all these halachas. Meaning, and so it's a tircha. And so once the Ame Haaretz get into this mindset of don't bother me, so then we'll have to assume that. Much like they didn't take off Maiser Rishon, they also didn't take off Maiser Sheni, they also didn't take off Maiser Ani, and so therefore, when you buy from them, so you have to take off each one of them, and we have to be equally concerned for each one that they may or may not have taken off. Okay, so that's the explanation behind the Chachamim, and that's why you have to take off Maiser Ani when you buy from the Amaretz. And again, take it off, but you don't have to give it to the Ani. If you look at the Gaon over here, the Gaon makes just one word change, but it's significant, And this is a part that I was referencing earlier. Right, the Gaon takes out the word triche and he replaces it with sanye. And now let's read it now according to the Gaon. Came into sanye le milsa lo mafresh. And this goes back to what I said earlier, meaning it's not that just the Amei Haaretz are people who are not knowledgeable, not educated. In other words, no, Amei Haaretz are a little bit more malicious in their intent, meaning, oh, this is now a religious matter. No, thank you. And so when it comes to Meiser Ani, meaning, oh, okay, fine. Now religiously, I have to take off another Meiser and give it to the Aniyim. No, thank you. So it basically comes out to be the same conclusion, but over here we're reading it like the Gaon. You see actually that there's a little bit more malintent on the part of the Amei Haaretz. It's not just simply don't bother me. It's don't bother me. I don't want it.
Okay. Meiser
Rishon, no, in other words, no, Meiser Rishon wasn't even on the table for discussion. Meaning, of course, when you buy it from the Amei Haaretz, you have to take off Meiser Rishon. That goes without saying. The only thing that is, you know, open for a little bit of debate is Meiser Ani, meaning it's the end of the road. So by Meiser Ani, so Rebbe Elazar says you don't have to worry about it. And why? So the Gemara basically just proposed two different reasons why that may be. The first, however, the Gemara seems to not accept. Second one, the Gemara seems to be happier with. But in any event. Okay. Finishing up over here, this sugya, Kama Yochum and a Tevel. How much Tevel do you have to eat in order to be subject to Malkus? So the answer, the standard answer, which, you know, I would have said, you would have said, is Kazayas. However, if you remember the Mishnah that we did just yesterday, so it's a machlokis between the Tanaim. The Chachamim said a Kazayas, and Rabbi Shimon says a Kolshehu, any amount. And why should that be? Because it's a Birya. Now, if you remember the discussion, the dialogue back in the Mishnah, so the Chachamim said, Birya? No. Birya is by a bug. You know, but Birya by wheat? No. No. And what was Rabbi Shimon's response back in the Mishnah? So Rabbi Shimon said back in the Mishnah, well, what do you mean? If I have a kernel of wheat, isn't that a birya? So that was Rabbi Shimon's response back in the Mishnah. And now the Gemara is going to discuss. Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish. Machlok is bechita. So yes, Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim are clearly arguing. And as I just went over, they're certainly arguing by wheat. But meaning a kernel of wheat like we just described. Ava bekemach divar akol kezayis. But if let's say the wheat was ground up, and now I'm eating tevel of ground up wheat, everyone agrees you have to eat a kezayis. Meaning even Rabbi Shimon will not argue that a kol shehu of ground wheat is going to be subject to malchus when you eat just in any amount of ground wheat of tevel. In other words, because again, what does it have to be in order for you to be chayev? Is it has to be a shear. A shear is either a volume of a kezayis or it's a birya. And Rabbi Shimon just simply extends the definition of birya to talk even about a kernel of wheat, even though it's not an animal. So that is Reish Lakish's understanding of the machlokas. Rabbi Yirmiyama, Rabbi Shimon Malakish, kamachlokas bezu, kach machlokas bezu. And Rabbi Yirmiyama quotes Reish Lakish, right? In other words, two Amoraim quoting Reish Lakish. So, you know, one of those occasions in Shas where, you know, they're both in the same shear, hearing the same shear, hearing it from the same person. And, you know, they're not walking away with the same conclusion. And it could be, this is speculation on my part. It could be Reish Lakish himself vacillated on this issue. And, you know, and sometimes he reflected one position, sometimes another, but I am merely speculating. So according to Rav Yirmiya, quoting Reish Lakish, no. Rabbi Shimon's position is that when you're eating tevel, even if it's ground up, a kol shehu would be chayiv. And the Chachamim obviously would disagree. Now, Tanan. Now, the Gemara says, now, in terms of the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, and whether or not they are also debating ground-up wheat, it's very hard to argue. Meaning, Rav Bibi's position is much easier to defend. Tanan, look at our Mishnah. Amar lahem Rabbi Shimon yatamod nun libocha namala, kol shushu chayev. So Rabbi Shimon says to the Chachamim, yeah, look, you eat an ant, you're going to be chayev. You eat a wheat kernel, you're going to be chayev. Amar lo mimnei shi'i kibriyasa. So, and the Chachamim's response is, no, a wheat kernel is not a birya, an animal is a birya, an ant is a birya. Okay. So, amar lahen af chita achas kibriyasa. So, and Rabbi Shimon's counter response is, no, a wheat kernel also is a birya. It's also a single unit entity. Okay. So, chita in kemachlo. The diuk over here is really simple and really straightforward, meaning clearly they're debating about a wheat kernel, meaning Rabbi Shimon's position that a wheat kernel is a birya is because it's a kernel of wheat. But if it had been ground up, seemingly, Rabbi Shimon would agree, you need a kezias. The Gemara deflects, the Gemara defends Rav Yirmiyah's version. L'divreim kamar lehu. So when Rabbi Shimon's responding to the Chachamim, he is not representing his own position. Meaning his own position is that when you eat a kol shehu of tevel, you're going to be chayev, whether it's a kernel or whether it's ground up. But what he was saying to the Chachamim is, look, lididi afilu kemach nami. Look, you want my own opinion, which I know you don't accept, is that if you eat a kol shehu, even of a ground up wheat kernel, even of ground up wheat, I'm going to tell you that a kol shehu is going to be chayev. But ela lididchu, odulim yas techita achas kebriyasa. You got to give me this though. Even within your position, if I had a wheat kernel, isn't that a birya? And v'rabanan, and the Chachamim will argue on this point, and the Gemara explains. Brias neshama chashuva, chita lo chashuva. When you have an ant, so that's a birya. When you have a wheat kernel, it's not a birya. Now, what makes a difference? So the Gemara, I mean, that distinction is actually built into the formulation of the Gemara, because an ant is a neshama. Meaning, again, you're not eating it live. Meaning you could be eating it dead, and that's also a birya. But the point was is that it was a living entity. And being that it's a living entity, so then even though it's smaller than a kezias, but since it was a living entity, therefore it's chashev. Wheat, on the other hand, I know grows, but in other words, doesn't have a neshama, it's not a living entity. And so therefore, even though you're eating a complete kernel, it doesn't have the status of a birya. Tanya Kavazi de Rav Yirmiyah. Now the Gemara points out that we do have a brisa supporting Rav Yirmiyah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Koshu Lamakos, Lamar Kazayas El Alinian Carbon. That any amount is going to be subject to Makos. And as far as the Kazayas is concerned, meaning Rabbi Shimon does acknowledge that there's a concept of Kazayas. But Rabbi Shimon says, yes, there's a concept of Kazayas. But that's only vis-a-vis bringing a carbon. Meaning that if you ate a Kazayas of a Dover Usser, and now you're going to need to bring a carbon. Now this obviously is only going to be referring to those things which are eligible for a carbon, meaning the only thing eligible for a carbon is something which is a chiv karis. So when you eat something that would bring about an isser karis if done intentionally, and you ate it unintentionally, so there you have to eat a kezias of it in order to be chayv a carbon. But in terms of the actual isser itself subject to malchus, even a kol shehu. So it's interesting now, basically what we're learning together is that the machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim is not really limited to the concept of birya, meaning Rabbi Shimon holds throughout Isuri HaTorah that a kol shehu would be chayev. Whereas according to the Chachamim, no, you're not a kol shehu. Meaning it may be aser, right? The Gemara in Yuma, Chatzi Shir Aser Min HaTorah. It may be aser to eat less than a kezias, but in terms of receiving a malchus, you're only going to get malchus when you have a kezias. Now, I'll tell you why it's strange, meaning what I just said seems to be the correct conclusion. But it's strange because we're talking about shiurim. We're talking about how much. Who tells us how much? It's halach l'moshe misinai. So halach l'moshe misinai, we generally have the assumption, and the Rambam is the, right, and the Rambam is the one who presents it this way, is that when you have halach l'moshe misinai, it's not subject to a machlokas. And seemingly over here, what we have is halach l'moshe misinai, which is subject to a machlokas. Okay, all that obviously needs much more work, you know, attention, and you have to develop that better. But okay, I just I laid out the problem.
This is the issue with checking the bugs.
Right, correct. Meaning, right. In other words, when you eat a bug in its entirety, so even though it's less than a shear, it's still is a minotaurah, and that's according to everybody. Meaning, according to the Chachamim as well, this concept of birya. Okay, ha ochel bikurim, achelo kara aleihem. The Bikurim process, and time is set to dedicate to this topic. So the Bikurim process is that when you have your first fruits of the year, so you take off some of the first fruits, you put it in a basket, you bring it to Yerushalayim, your Meiniach, you place it down next to the Mizbeach, and then there's a paragraph to read. It's not even a full, I mean, it's four Pesukim. But then read the beginning of Parshas Kisava, or Ami Ovidavi, and that's the Kriya. And then what you do is you give it over to the Kohen, and now it is Manos Kahuna. It's one of the 24 Manos Kahuna. Okay, Bikurim. So now the Mishnah teaches us like this. Ha'ochel Bikurim Ashlo Kara Aleihem. And you eat the Bikurim before the actual Kriya. Now, you could have argued, Kriya, okay, I know it's important to read it. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. But it's going to be a lav if you eat the Bikurim before the Kriya. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That's absolutely correct. Meaning it's going to be a lav in the Torah, even, not even. When, if in the event you have not yet done the Kriya, so then you're going to be in violation of the lav. The Sefer Chinuch, I'm going on memory, so you could fact check me, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. The Sefer Chinuch counts the Bikurim and the Kriya as two separate mitzvahs, which makes the Zalach even stranger. Meaning, in other words...
The Kriya is not something that applies all year round. I mean, it's a time-dependent thing.
Okay. Okay, that's true. I mean, it's part of Bikurim.
Can the Kohen eat it before the...
Before Kriya? The Mishnah is telling us no. In other words, it's subject to Malchus.
You mean the Kohen get Malchus, or is it the one who...
Okay, no, the Kohen... I mean, my best guess is the Kohen because that's the recipient of it. But, you know, it could be the Yisrael as well. But the Yisrael is not allowed to eat it all together. In other words, it's manas kahuna. It's kedusha. Okay. Ha'ocha bikur mashalo kara aleim. Kache kadashim chutz l'kalayim. Kache kalim umayser sheni chutz l'choma. And now, again, more crash courses today. A lot of ideas of Torah you need for today's daf. Kache kachim. Kache kachim are karbanos that are... like a carbon chatos, for example, where carbon chatos is eaten. Obviously, the carbon ola is not eaten at all. But a carbon chatos is eaten, but it's only eaten by Zichrei Kohuna, by the male Kohanim, and only in the Azara, only in the temple courtyard. So the containment, the area in which you're allowed to eat carbon chatos, obviously is extraordinarily limited. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that if kashim were eaten outside of the kalayim are literally curtains. I know structurally it's a wall. And yes, it is a little bit strange that the Mishnah here describes it as curtains. But if you eat the kashim kadashim outside of the Azara, or kashim kalam and maaser sheni chutz l'choma, kashim kalam like a shlamim, or maaser sheni, to be eaten outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, hashover sa'etzem b'pesach ha-tahor, or let's say it is a carbon pesach that is tahor, you break a bone, and it's one of the lavim of the Torah. The Torah says, etzem lo sishperu bo. You're not allowed to break the bone of the Karban Pesach. So in all these cases, you're going to be subject to Malchus. Aval amosir b'tahor. Or let's say you leave over Nosar. As we've discussed already extensively, it's been one of the more often discussed topics in this Masechta. Leaving over Nosar. So you're not going to get Malchus. And basically, we can say now three reasons after having covered most of the Masechta already. Three reasons why you're not going to get Malchus for Nosar. One is because it's a lav shein b'maisa. Two, because it's a lav anitak laasei. And three, because it's Asra Safik. I can come up with three different reasons why you're not going to get Malchus. I didn't come up with them, meaning those are the Gemaras we've been doing. Hashover b'tamei. Or let's say it's a Karban Pesach that's tamei, and I break the bone of such a Karban Pesach. Ain't a lokar abayim, so you're not going to get Malchus. You notice, by the way, every time it says Malchus, it says 40 lashes, and somewhere in your head, you know that there really are 39. Stay tuned, the Gemara later on, we'll discuss that. Hanotel im al habanim. You took away the mother bird, which is what you were not supposed to do, meaning you were supposed to send away the mother bird and take then the chicks or the eggs. You take the mother bird. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Loke Veina Meshalech, V'chachamim Omri Meshalech Veina Loke. So, is this going to be a Malchus scenario? We already discussed this before, and now this is the Mishnah, which we quoted earlier in the Gemara. Machlok is Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether or not this is a Lav Anitak Lase. I mean, that's one explanation. That's the one the Gemara gave earlier. Rabbi Yehuda, it does not feel it's a Lav Anitak Lase. Therefore, you're going to get Malchus. And the Chachamim say it is a Lav Anitak Lase. So you simply send away the mother bird, meaning that you did violate the Lav in the Torah, but it's rectifiable. And so therefore, you send away the mother bird, you're not going to get Malchus. We quoted this line in the Mishnah earlier. This is where the Mishnah tells us point blank that when you have a Lav Anitak Lase, when the Torah gives you a Lav, and then Taylor makes a essay, a positive commandment of how to rectify that which you did wrong, so you're not going to be receiving Malchus. Okay. The opinion espoused in our Mishnah belongs to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva Stima Sa. It's an interesting appellation that's given to Rabbi Kiva. Stam Rabbi Kiva, the generic Rabbi Kiva. As I translate that into English, you hear it doesn't translate well. What does that mean, the generic Rabbi Kiva? So The so the Rashi over here writes, Rabbi Kiva Hayashaya Rago Rabbi Lestom Dvarav B'Mishnah B'Stam B'Kama Mekamos. Many Mishnayos, many anonymous Mishnayos are really espousing the viewpoint of Rabbi Kiva. V'Hachi Shmiel Eile Rav Yochanan De'Islei Eile Rabbi Kiva. I'm sorry. Right. Right. So we know Stam Mishnah's Karab Meir. We know that Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. We also learned recently that he had other Rabbim as well. But anyway, that's Rashi over here explaining the word Stam. Beginning of Masechet Megillah, right, if I remember correctly. The Gemara Rashi over there goes over a couple of explanations of why Rabbi Kiva is called Rabbi Kiva Stimasa. Anyway, Rabbi Kiva, Zuhadiv Rabbi Kiva Stimasa, V'chachamam Omri Bikurim Manachem Ha'akevas Bahen, Kriya Ein Ma'akevas Bahen. As far as the Shita of the Chachamim are concerned, the Hanacha, like I described earlier with the Bikurim, when placing the basket next to the Mizbeach, that is a critical component of the mitzvah. The kriya, albeit it's, of course it's a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev. It doesn't hold back the mitzvah. So v'lema zudivir Rabbi Shimon stimasa. So hakamash wonder Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shimon svirale. So the Gemara says, now why don't we just simply say that this is Rabbi Shimon? Meaning, the Gemara in a moment is going to be quoting a brisa, and the brisa clearly has this as Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint, meaning that kriya is ma'akev. So why are we saying it's Rabbi Kiva? So the Gemara says very simply. Rabbi Gemara says very simply that Rabbi Akiva also espouses to this viewpoint as well. Now, right. So my Rabbi Shimon D'Tanya, and here comes the Braisa. U'chumas yadcha ela bikurim. So chumas yadcha, in other words, obviously we're just quoting from an excerpt from the pasuk, that's a reference to bikurim. I'm Rabbi Shimon, ma bazel lamdeno. Im la'och lamchutz l'choma kavachomim in my sarka. So if we're talking about eating the bikurim outside of the walls, we already know that that comes, that's already derived from Maiser Sheni. Ma Maiser Akal Ochlan Chosachama Loke Bikur Lokol Shekain. So just like my Maiser Sheni eating outside the home, eating outside the walls, subject to Malkos, so Bikurim for sure, which is more Chamor, so for sure. Halo Ba Kasav Ella La Ochel Mi Bikurim Ashlo Karalem Shu Loke. So what's the Chiddush of the Torah? Chiddush of the Torah is that if I eat the Bikurim prior to the Kriya, subject to Malkos. Nidvo Secha Zu Toda Vishlamim. So Nidvo Secha is a reference to Karban Torah and the Shlamim. I'm Rabbi Shimon Ma Bazalam Deno Im Lochlam Chutz Lachoma Kavachomim Meiser. So in terms of eating it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, we already know that that's prohibited based on the Kavachomer. Halo Ba Hakasov Ella Lochlam Betorah Vishlamim Lif Nei Zrika Shu Loke. You eat the Karban Torah, you eat the Karban Shlamim prior to Zrika Zadam, subject to Malkos. Uvechor is Bechor is mentioned in the pasuk as a reference to Bechor. I'm Rabbi Shimon Ma Bazel Amdenu. Im Lochlam Chutz Lachoma Kavachomim Meiser. Again, same starting point for Rabbi Shimon. I already know that I can't take it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Im Lifnei Zrika Kavachomim Mitod V'Shlamim. If we're talking about eating it before Zrika Zadam, I know that already based on the halachas regarding Tod and Shlamim. So, and this is even, and this being more Chamer. And again, the chumras we're going to explain later. Eating from the bechor even after zrika is subject to malchus. Why would someone be getting malchus for eating it after the zrika? Because the person who is eating it is a zar. He's not a kohen. Only the kohanim are allowed to eat it. So a non-kohen eating it, even though everything was done correctly, and even though he's eating in Yerushalayim and it's after Zrikas Adam, but he's not a kohen, subject to Malkus. Bikar chavetzon chazu chatas v'asham. So Amar Rabbi Shimon Ma Bazel Amdina. What is this coming to teach us? Im lochlem chutz lachoma kavachomim meiser. So again, outside the walls of Yerushalayim, we know that already. Im lefnei zrika kavachomim mitod Yerushalayim. Before Zrika, we know that already as well. Im l'acher Zrika kavachomim bibachor. And even if it's after Zrika, but if a non-Kohen were to eat it, once again, we know that as well. Ha lo ba kasev ela la ochel michatas v'ashem afil l'acher Zrikas chutz l'klayim shu loke. Eating it outside the Azara, meaning you're in within the walls of Yerushalayim, obviously, but you're outside the Azara, you're going to get Malkus as well. Nidarecha zu ola. So Nidarecha's reference to Ola. I'm Rav Shema Ma Bazel Lamdin. What's this coming to teach us? Im lochlem chutz l'chama kavachomim ma'mais. Im lefnei zrika kavachomim mitor l'shlam. Im lachar zrika kavachomim b'chor. Im chutz l'klaim kavachomim mechatas v'asham. Okay, just see above. So halo ba hakasav Ela. So now, what is the pasuk coming to teach us regarding the Ola? Ela la ochel mina Ola. La'achar zrika afil bifnim shu loka. You eat from the carbon ola. No one's allowed to eat from the carbon ola. It's called an ola because it's totally burnt on the mizbeach. You eat from the carbon ola, and even though you're a kohen, and it's in and you're within the walls of the azara, and it's after Zrikas Adam, still one is going to be subject to malchus. Okay, Amarava. So let us pause over here. This is where we'll bookmark it. Tomorrow we pick it up from the statement of Rava on the very top of Yud Zayin Amud Beis.